Thanks for joining us. I'm Rory McCann. I am the marketing manager and a conference producer with Life Science Nation. I'm joined today by Diana Caldwell. She's the co-founder, president, and CEO of Amplified Sciences, a diagnostics company focused on accurately detecting and preempting the risks of debilitating diseases with a lead assay for the early detection of pancreatic cancer. Diana, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Your bio on the company website describes you as a serial life science entrepreneur. That sounds like a whole lot of asking for trouble. So why don't you tell me a little bit more about your background and how you started Amplified Sciences?
I really grew up in big corporate America, having a wonderful career for close to 16 years at Eli Lilly and Company. I got the luxury of being able to work in many different functions of the company, but my functional home was commercial roles primarily. I decided that I wanted to jump out of corporate America and try a smaller business environment and consider entrepreneurship. But I had a great career at Lilly and wonderful challenges and got to build a lot of new groups and turn around some others and lead with some fantastic people. Great, great training there. My first company was a services firm, co-founder and CEO of that. And we did all things regulatory in the life science space, FDA regulatory consulting, quality assurance, clinical trial support. After that, decided to sell my half of the company to get back to my product development roots. So I really am driven by the patient is waiting. There's so many debilitating illnesses and things that affect people's quality of life. They're really waiting for all of us to develop and launch new products that will help them. I had a stint where I met my current co-founder, Dr. Joe Davison. I was at the Purdue Foundry as an entrepreneur in residence there, supporting startups at all different stages. But the very first person I was assigned to was Joe Davidson. So we joined forces in 2019. And ever since then, it's been a great roller coaster ride. We are a platform chemistry play. Our intellectual property has been exclusively licensed from Purdue University. We have composition of matter patents, so strong, good IP issued. First applications for earlier detection of pancreatic cancer. So it's an exciting, important disease state to be working to because that's a devastating cancer, third deadliest in the US today. I work with great people and we are making a difference. Not everybody is cut out for startup entrepreneurship. The highs are high and the lows are low. It's exciting, but it's not for the faint of heart because fundraising and building a team and all those challenges and science isn't perfect. There's going to be things that don't go right. It's especially in life sciences. It's, you know, high risk, but high reward.
Yeah. Let's get into that a little bit. Can you provide a little bit of context in what the early years have looked like for you?
Yeah. So we're at seed stage, closed a 1.8 million seed round about a year ago. Before that, Joe had gotten a little bit of pre-seed funding under a program sponsored at Purdue called Black and Gold Awards, a little NSF grant, and that really got things translated out of the lab to prove a concept. About $2 million in total. You know, fundraising is the hardest thing I've ever done other than raise my three girls. And I'm a kind of a sales gal. You know, I came out of commercialization. So I'm like, oh, well, how hard could it be? We've got three full-time folks in the lab. We're focused every day on making a step forward to get closer to commercial availability and commercial launch, but at the same time also continuing to develop our platform and think about what's next also. So you've got to do a lot. You got to carry all the hats in a startup.
How do you balance those hats of being the leader of a company, but also heading up the fundraising, but you're also making sure that those milestones are being hit? It seems like you're attention would be split and very challenging to frankly get anything done. So how are you doing it?
You have to figure out how to prioritize ruthlessly each day. You know, when I was at Lilly, I had big teams I could delegate to. If you delegate it to one of your scientists, you know, as the business gal in the company and as the leader, I mean, if I might take away from critical science. So it is a balance. So you surround yourself also, though, with believers and zealots that are advisors that will help informally, sometimes more formally take on projects. You have to prioritize and revisit on a regular basis to make sure that everybody is on the same page.
Let's talk a little bit about your fundraising efforts. You were a recent winner of the Innovators Pitch Challenge at Digital Rights JPM. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a great, pleasant surprise.
Tell me a little bit about how you use that in your fundraising strategy, and if you can offer any insight into pitching to investors, the process of researching investors who are a good fit, following up with them. I find that these tactics are so important.
First of all, I think it's important to do your homework and talk to other startups that have attended any kind of conference, whether face-to-face, online, and make sure you go into it understanding what to expect. And I also ask oftentimes lessons learned. Resi had a good reputation, had been on my list for a while. There was a lot going on that week, and I personally made a decision to just do Resi and not try to spread myself out too much during that week period, because there's a lot of other stuff going on. And then preparations. I always seem to underestimate how much time it's going to take to get to know the platform that you all use. How do I query and filter, figure out how to find people, craft the right message and reach out and sort of target folks, and then also tap into your network to see if maybe somebody you know knows somebody who's going to be there that could even give a warm intro or welcome before you kind of cold call them. And in some ways, we could be more productive now with things being online, but it's a little less personal and it's a little less about relationships, and it's more about how you can leverage the process and that platform and prep and send the right messages. And then my other tip is, like, it's always kind of depressing. You send out all these messages, you find few that you think are such perfect fits, and then you don't hear back from most folks. These corporate VCs, I mean, they're very busy. They're inundated. They have their own objectives of why they're going to be there. And so, you know, cold calls or even warm calls only work so well. So you just have to work the process and realize you need a lot of shots on goal to get that connection and the connections you're hoping for. So talk to people before, make sure it's the right fit. Then if you're going to do it and invest in the money in it, then you've got to dedicate the time. Resi did a great job. You guys did a little webinar on some key tips for how to reach out on the platform. Go ahead and just ask for a meeting, for example, in the platform. Don't just send a message to them, because they can more easily ignore that. If you send a meeting notice, then it's sitting on their calendar for them to respond to. So great tips. Reconnect with other folks, maybe investors you've talked to before that have followed you, with a very personalized message, maybe in an email as opposed to the platform. And then I had a couple current investors there that I reached out and said, we may not have time to meet, but just wanted to say, hey, come to my pitch. And that way we got connected. And actually I did that with an investor there. And another opportunity kind of came out of that, that was probably just because I happened to reach out in that moment. You got to treat it like a pretty major project. You have to be smart, work the platform, figure out a few key messages, and then work your calendar. See, and then the pull through afterwards. There's always an immediate follow-up I try to do. And then you let a little time pass because everyone's inundated, and then do another loop back.
I think that is so valuable. And that is something that we frequently hear from people who do have positive experiences. So I think there's a lot of weight to that. One thing you said that we don't hear frequently that I want to touch on is about how you also prioritize reaching out to existing investors, connecting with people for reasons other than just introducing yourself, introducing the company. I think that often we lose sight of just connection for the connection's sake, because something that comes out of there, like you said, is often opportunities that you weren't looking for, but they're there and they're valuable. So I appreciate that you said that. Now, in a pitch environment, when you are pitching your company, what is the lasting impression you want to leave them with? If you had to narrow it down to one thing, what would it be?
First of all, my overall objective is only just to get another meeting. You have a very limited amount of time to build credibility so that the message will be listened to about the vision of the company, showing that you've got the data and insights that the first problem you're addressing is one that is worth solving and has a market potential to do it. So yeah, you're trying to do a lot of things. And the messenger, of course, throughout that, you can't separate, right, the company from the team or the person that's pitching there. So just because it's somebody that people are inspired by, if there's nothing behind the wall, right, behind the curtain, that there's not good intellectual property and a good solution, and it's at least proof of concept data in some way, shape, or form, then, I mean, who cares who's, you know, in front? Vice versa, though, if you've got a great, there's so much great IP and technology just sitting in universities or out there and it never sees the light of day because the right team isn't put around it that can de-risk it, make sure they progress it and execute. You know, I think one of the risks in a startup that's often underlooked is execution risk. And that typically comes down to nothing else other than the team around it that's doing it, right? Is executing.
I think that's a really great mindset and one that many would do well to consider in their own experiences as well. Let's talk a little bit about the future. Where is Amplified Sciences going this year? What are the highlights that you're looking forward to in 2022?
We're focused on building a great diagnostic company that can help identify disease more accurately. It's interesting. I think once you get a little bit of traction on the lead product, particularly in diagnostics, you have to think about the portfolio, right? So one sort of different mindset is thinking broader than just the lead assay. We had to do that initially, right? To make sure we could demonstrate the power of our technology. We're now clinical stage, so we've got clinical samples that we're testing, and that is another awesome responsibility to be good stewards of those patient samples and to ensure we're doing all the testing to demonstrate to ourselves in the marketplace that, you know, we've got something good here. So I think that's probably two of the bigger things in terms of growth for us. We are preparing to gear up for a next funding round. You know, you never, they say a startup CEO never stops fundraising, right? Really, but you sometimes take little breathers. We're excited to bring in, we've got a lot of existing investors, I think will come in, but excited about bringing in some others into the syndicate that would bring outside expertise that beyond just capital that help position us for the future as we march towards a commercial company. So we're gearing up for that, really becoming translational and ready for commercial launch.
It's going to be a big year for you guys. So we are so thankful that you were able to kick the year off with Digital Resi JPM.
When you bring a group of passionate people together that want to solve a problem and you help steer them with the right resources, you can do anything and you should try anything. And the patient is waiting, so they deserve us to try everything.
We really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us and look forward to where you're going this year.
Thank you, Rory. I really appreciate the opportunity in the Innovators Pitch Challenge and the Resi format and everything you guys do to support startups.